If you lift up the edge of the crotch plate, the nipple's on, it'll move about an eighth of an inch. The gap exposes one end of the bladder.
Can they be punctured?
They're made of plastisteel, but they can be cut with a sharp point, so long as it isn't metal.
Dean, give me your blade.
Here you go, Dad.
Here. Will this cut them?
Yeah. Probably. The fuel's very dangerous, though.
Explosive?
Not under normal conditions, but it's toxic. Don't get any of it on bare skin. If it gets on your clothes, strip them off at once. It drips slow unless it's pumped, which is how the reservoir's normally drained and filled.
How much of the stuff's in each suit?
Gebhardt opened his mouth to answer. His eyes suddenly widened, almost bulging out of their sockets.
Oh, no. Not now. I'm not ready. I'm not ready.
Blood gushed from his mouth and nostrils. He started strangling on the lining of his own lungs. His heels drummed on the tunnel floor, while his arms thrashed.
Hold him down.
They grabbed his arms and legs and pinned him to the glass.
Let it go, Colonel. Just let it go. It's done. It's over. You did well.
Okay. Thank you.
The Colonel's eyes fixed on the ceiling.
That's it, Ryan. Hope you got what you needed.
Brave man.
Right.
Well, thanks to Gebhardt, I've got the start of a plan.
You're welcome.
It's gonna take all seven of us to pull it off. We're gonna need a couple of empty battle suits.
Is that all?
Let's get the men buried and start loading the sledge. We'll meet up with the others topside.
20 minutes later, Mildred, Ryan, and Dean pushed and dragged their full cart out of the mine. After they traded ore for water, they hung around the compound until the others showed up.
Did the Colonel shed this mortal coil?
About 30 minutes ago.
Did he talk?
Jesus, Dix.
Ryan filled them in on what the Colonel had said before he died. Then he quickly sketched out his plan.
Problem I see is the suit-to-suit communications. If one of the guards hears his pal in trouble, he'll either come running himself, tri-barrel blazing, or he'll call in the others. Either way, we're cooked.
It just means we've got to occupy them both at the same time, so they don't have a chance to think about calling for help.
Get one to leave his post while we strip the other one.
Jack, you're the fastest runner. Think you can make one of them chase you?
Which?
Take the guy guarding the right fork. The other one's more my size.
Take him. Lose him?
No. Lead him back to the fork.
Uh-huh.
Jack headed toward the mine by himself. The companions paused a moment to give the albino teenager a good head start, then pushed their empty sledges after him. When they reached the main tunnel's fork and the Klieg lights, there was only one guard in evidence, and he had his back turned toward them. He was staring down the right-hand fork with the muzzle of his pulse rifle pointed at the floor. JB jumped in the front cart's ore box, and Ryan, Dean, Mildred, and Doc started pushing it as fast as they could. On the slick surface, it picked up speed in a hurry. They aimed the sledge at the trooper.
What the hell?
He whirled at the last second and tried to step out of the way. Ryan countered, throwing his weight to the outside, which caused the sledge to veer sharply. Before the guard could get his pulse rifle up, the bow of the sledge crashed into him and carried him hard against the wall. An instant after impact, JB jumped out and onto the trooper, pulling him head first into the cart's box.
You're coming with us!
This tipped the guard's legs into the air. While the man fought to get free, wildly kicking his legs, JB sat on the back of his helmet, pinning him to the bottom and sides of the sledge.
Sorry, pal. This'll hurt you more than it will me.
The armorer used his boots to keep the trooper's hands off his throat mic's activator. Mildred grabbed one flailing leg and docked the other. Ryan slipped between the two with Dean's dagger in his fist. His fingers found the battlesuit's fuel nipple filled, then the edge of the armor plate. He pried up the plate and thrust the point of the bone blade under it. The dagger slipped in perfectly. Its serrated edge slashed deep into the bladder. Ryan ripped it back out, splitting the bladder wide open.
Look out!
A thick fluid, lemon yellow in the Klieg light, gushed out and spattered onto the floor. Others stopped their carts.
Kill the fucker! Cut the bastard!
Now this is something worth watching.
JB reached down and pushed the helmet's release button. Then he screwed the helmet off the battlesuit's collar. That done, he knee-dropped on the back of the guy's head, driving his face into the bottom of the cart. After two more knee drops, the trooper went dead limp.
He's out.
Get him onto the floor. We gotta work fast.
When they had the guard on his back, they started unbuckling the battlesuit. They removed the torso plates first, then arms and gauntlets, and finally the crotch panel and leg attachments. Under his armor, the soldier wore gray underwear with an Omnico logo. The companions tore it off, then tore up his underwear. Mildred pointed at the angry rash across the trooper's lower back and down his right leg.
Try not to touch it. Could be some kind of off-world contagion.
Right, Millie.
After they tied and gagged him with strips of his own clothing, they dumped the man back in the cart and shoved it to the side. The spectators moved in around the sledge.
Party time!
They took turns leaning in and punching or spitting on the defenseless guard.
That rash could be contagious. Could be something living in that battle suit.
The least of my worries.
Ryan had trouble getting on the gauntlets and boots because of his manacles. It was a very tight fit, especially over his ankles. But with help, he managed. He was careful with the crotch panel, which still dripped a feeble trickle of fuel.
How does it feel?
It's a lot lighter than it looks. Flex is good, too. We've got a full range of movement.
Doc handed Ryan the helmet, and the armorer helped him screw it on.
Can you see out of it?
Kind of.
Did you say something, Ryan? We can't hear you.
I said kind of.
Hey, maybe without power that voice amplification doesn't work.
Neither did the oxygen pump. There was no air in the suit, and the visor began to fog over from Ryan's breath. He unscrewed the helmet at once.
The suit's ventilation system shut down. Lend me your axe, JB.
Ryan laid the helmet on the floor. With powerful blows of the axe, he punched a series of ragged holes in its back, just above the join with the collar.
There, that should do it.
And no tech solution. Pure Deathlands.
Ryan picked up the trooper's laser rifle. Although it looked bulky, it was light and quick in his hands. The bullpup design came up fast to his shoulder, and its balance was nose forward and sweet. Gavhardt and his crew had shown them how to read the charge indicator LCD. It read full at the moment. Enough power to saw through 100 yards of igneous rock.
Where did the cart with the trooper go?
Shit. The other slaves must have taken him into the mine when we had our backs turned. By now, he's dead meat.
I wonder what Jack did to get the other trooper to chase after him.
Whatever it was, it sure worked.
Must have pissed him off large.
There is no denying the fact our young Jack is a most enterprising chap.
Earlier, as Jack had walked down the tunnel, he didn't have a clue what he was going to do. Until he saw the ore sledge coming his way up the right fork on the other side of the Klieg lights. It was full of big blocks of glass. Non-metallic glass. Something twinkled in the blood-red seas of his eyes. A smile twisted his pale lips.
Should think of a foul.
Though Jack was a boy who usually communicated in terse, fractured English, it was no indication of his mental powers. The albino teenager had a keen native intelligence, a quick, decisive mind, and an instinct for making the right move at the right time. Some people might dismiss this talent as a survival urge, something he shared with lower beasts, but it was much more complicated than mere reactive hardwiring. Jack had put together Gabhart's last words with the problem he faced and the tools at hand, and came up with a viable solution. It was real-time synthesis, under pressure of certain death. He timed his loping stride, so he arrived at the guard station a second before the sledge did. He held out his hands, grabbing the front of the cart and stopping it.
Whoa!
What do you want? Get out of the way, you white-haired runt!
Jack walked around the trooper's side of the sledge. He looked into the box.
All no good. Not red hot enough.
What's the holdup?
Jack reached into the cart and hefted out one of the big rectangular blocks, bending his knees to take the weight, which was considerable.
This?
The albino opened his arms. 100 pounds of nuke glass fell onto the soldier's boots. No EM pulse, no deflection.
Nuke in hell!
The slave gawked at the block, which covered the black boots up to the shins. Jack couldn't see inside the trooper's helmet, but his body language, all scrunched over, barely holding onto his laser rifle, said what had just happened didn't feel at all good. Before the soldier could move, Jack took another, smaller piece of glass and slammed all 25 pounds of it onto the top of his helmet. The pulse rifle clattered to the floor beside the block. The cart-pushing slave and his partners silently backed away from their sledge and made themselves scarce, hightailing it toward the mine entrance. The trooper bent down and retrieved his rifle.
Fucking bastard! Your ass is mine!
He used it like a pry bar to lever the block off his boots. By that time, Jack was running down the side tunnel, his shoulder length white.